You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to your post-match Raw on Anfield Index Pro, podcasting to you from my field here in beautiful rural Ireland. I'm Trev Downey. And joining me to give their immediate reactions to Liverpool 6, Sparta Prague 1 and not 11, as I've typed, are Guy Drinkle and Harry Sethi. A strange old evening, Guy. What we love about it is the relentlessness of this group. They just kept going for it. It's a strong enough team. We'll get to that in a second. But to whack in that amount of goals in such a short period, my mate texted me and said, I had just nipped up to the attic for something when I came back. I'd missed three goals. It was an odd night in terms of the dominance was absolute, Guy. I think if we look at the match stats, it'll probably bear that out. Let me just check them here. Yeah, 22 shots to 9, 12 on target for us to their 2, 78% of possession, which is kind of must be coming up on a record. 905 passes, which again must be coming up on a season record to their 255. It's an absolute domination. I didn't really think it was going to be this easy again, did you?
I always thought, do you remember that Porto game from 18-19, where we won the first leg comfortably and the second game was the worst game of football anyone's ever seen because nothing happened. Yeah. I thought it was just going to be that. I thought it was going to be, we'll just pass the ball around the back and we won't embarrass you. And then we were 3-0 up after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that, no. Because obviously we're getting at the lineup. I thought we'd play quite a few of the starters because obviously people are coming back needing rhythm, needing minutes and stuff like that. But I wasn't expecting basically our first choice 11 with one child. So he went stronger than I expected. And yeah, we kind of just shown that the Premier League and the Czech Republic League's not really the same, is it?
appear to be a disparity for sure, yeah.
Just a little bit, but we took it seriously, and that's probably what people want, because although it probably wasn't the most fun game for a neutral to watch because it's one side battering another, it's probably better than watching a team of grown men against a team of children. We've seen that game before, and it always ends up being boring, so... At least we took the game seriously. And, well, we did take it bloody seriously.
Yeah, and the I think it was very pleasing, Harry, to just follow on from what Guy's saying, that not only did we take it seriously, but there was a real effort to kind of play that Liverpool way with the high tempo and first-time passing and pushing little balls around corners and gorgeous through balls and pullbacks and all the things that we associate with Liverpool under Klopp. These guys who went out tonight, whether for, as Guy says, rhythm or to get some much-needed minutes in the cases of the likes of Mo on them, Dom to an extent, they really put the work in and the rewards came in a very gratifying way.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the performance was excellent. And just saw someone's comment after the game there that actually I think it might have been James Pearce actually just saying that there's a maximum of two more European nights at Anfield in Klopp's reign. And it just obviously puts things back into perspective a little bit. And you wonder, yeah, if it was a bunch of youngsters, we saw that interview a few weeks back, right, with all the kids that have emerged this season and talking about how they do anything for Klopp. And yeah, just trying to give everything for Klopp because he's basically old enough to be some of their granddad, to be honest, but he's there helping them out. And you can see to an extent when you watch games like this, you do wonder, yes, it's for rhythm. Yes, there's a level of professionalism there that's been instilled amongst the group. And I just think everybody's just trying to maximize the enjoyment out of everything that we've got left here. Of course, at times it worries you to see a lineup that strong when you're thinking about how fragile we've been at late, of late rather. But there's a couple of players in there who probably could have done with that sort of game time, given how long they've been out and not looking fully in rhythm as well. So it was really encouraging to see. I have to admit, I didn't expect it to be quite the sort of dominoes falling the way in which they did in the first 15-20 minutes. Just trying to think of the Sparta Prague manager walking back to the bench after the third one, just whatever he's spoken about in the week, whatever he said in the press conferences, pre-match talk, just going back to his seat and, like one of your favourites, Trevor, taking a nice swig of a bottle of Fiji water.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there for it, to be fair? I do think that's a really poignant thing Jimmy Pearce is after raising there. The concept of only two more European nights at Anfield.
It's wild, isn't it? Yeah.
Under Klopp. I mean, this is now when it starts to pinch. And, you know, we're assuming too. It's interesting. The teams are ready for the draw tomorrow. It is Milan, Marseille, Benfica, Roma, West Ham, Atalanta, and by the skin of their teeth in injury time, Leverkusen, having been 2-1 down, I think, in the 90th minute. Guy, you were saying just before our mics went live here. So now everybody's going to go on about, you know, the draw and who do you want in the quarterfinal. I have to say that's quite an impressive bunch of clubs. There's no walkovers there at all in what's left. We are still and have to own up to being favourites for sure. That's very exciting. People were saying, oh, you know, the dream final against Leverkusen is still on. I'm one of those people, Harry, who has no ideas of a dream final against Leverkusen. I would like a procession to victory against Karabag. I'd have preferred that, frankly, in the Aviv. And then I could have just wandered off into the night in Dublin and planned some chaos. But it is looking, there seems to be a sniff of inevitability about the old narrative, TM.
Yeah, I saw somebody, again, post-match saying, Liverpool versus Leverkusen in the next round then, but only goals after the 90th minute count. I think that'd be quite a nice little way to take them on. It's a remarkable run. I think it's what approaching, was it 37 games unbeaten in all competitions? I mean, that's getting up there with all time European runs at the moment in terms of sort of just how, nothing seems to be going wrong for that guy at all. I'm similar to yourself. I mean, I do like the romantic fixtures every now and then, and it's nice to play against some of the really historic clubs in in Europe. But yeah, equally this season, it's really all about getting as many of those trophies in the cabinet as possible. So absolutely, I would have relished a procession to victory over Qarabag. Would have been, I mean, I don't think they're still in the competition, but I would have taken Young Boys, Trev, to be honest, in the final on the AstroTurf.
100%,
whatever it takes. But I think, yeah, you can only applaud the professionalism tonight. And I think when the youngsters did come on, I think with the exception of maybe Musiala at the end, probably the only one who looked slightly, you could tell the difference. I thought Bobby Clark and McConnell and Bradley, all excellent. Elliot coming on, looking a bit like an elder statesman by the time he actually came on. It's remarkable. Even Kwanzaa, who whenever we talk about the youngsters, we always seem to miss him out because of how he's performed for us. But yeah, I mean, that guy's picks up a booking, is furious about it. The manager picks up a booking, defending him, picking up a booking. And then he comes off the pitch and clearly whispers something on the lines of prick to Jürgen as he walks to the bench. So I think that's it's a wonderful little experience building for that young man.
Yeah, a lot of that going around tonight. And Guy, if we just take a quick look at the Liverpool team, and listen, with the best will in the world, all I'm going to do about Sparta Prague is say that they went with, I thought their keeper had a good night, which is probably going to sound condescending. In Vindal, he made some really good saves. You know, Vitic, Zeleny, Krejci, Preciado, Solbakken, Karinen, Rhines, Lackey, Bermanchevich, who does okay for himself, and Kuchta is their lineup. And several subs came on. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to pretend to know a whole lot about them. And when you even hear the likes of young Hendrik and young Matchett saying that it's something similar, I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Let's you and I focus on the Liverpool lineup and whether or not you felt it was reckless or correct or whatever. I remember speaking to Jan on Tuesday. I think we did it Tuesday, the show. And we both were saying, you know, there'll probably be some kids in this game, but he's going to go really strong against United because there's a gap afterwards, right? Now, I think this actually leans into him definitely going strong because it's getting some guys into rhythm. Kelleher was going to play anyway. Gomez played tonight alongside Endo, the newly returned to the England squad, Joe Gomez, which is just terrible news. Gomez played alongside Kwanzaa with Bradley and Robbo either side. We had Endo, Dom and Young Clark in midfield with Cody and Mo Salah and Darwin Nunez up top. We're starting to look a lot more like ourselves there. The bench is strong with Van Dijk on there and Diaz and McAllister all on there. Elliott's on, Tsimikas is on. And then we had Gordon, McConnell, Kumas, Dans, Musielewski and Mrozek on because we can have all the players in the world in the Europa League squads. Tell me about what you felt about the lineup, whether you thought it was the right one to go with, whether you think it's mission achieved in terms of, you know, people who needed minutes and rhythm and all those things.
Crapping myself and mission accomplished, is that acceptable?
That's fair.
So I always expected Salah to start and I always expected Dom to start because I think they're the two that really needed minutes. Gakpo was probably always going to play because, well, he's probably in our side the one who needs form the most, I'd say. And he got that tonight, which is good. Darwin played a bit unexpected, but I suppose he's played less than Elliot, who's played every minute since about October. So he needed a rest more than Darwin, I presume. Endo, maybe Endo's probably the biggest surprise because we have McConnell on the bench, who's been really impressive every time, most of the time he's played, if not every time he's played. So I'd probably say out of the ones who actually started, maybe Endo, because I feel like he's one who needs maybe a bit more protection, especially with the way McAllister's now playing further forward and is excelling so well there. But we were 5-1 up. This game was never going to descend into chaos, I don't think. Maybe it could have descended into chaos if we did just play 11 children, so that's probably why Klopp went, we can get this game even more buried alive if we just start strong. And that's what we did by simply having that starting 11. So, no, I think the more I think about it, I think going relatively strong was the right idea, and then bringing on more and more children as it went. But, yeah, I think every time anyone went into a challenge, you were like, don't get injured.
Yeah. It had a feel, didn't it, Guy, at certain times, that there was a little bit of risk, specifically towards the end when we were kind of painted into a corner. It looked like Tsimikas was limping and Mo Salah had to stay on because of an injury to Bobby Clark. And it just felt a little bit like, oh, we're exposed here. You saw Virgil coming onto the field as well. Obviously, in a pre-planned move, he wanted some minutes and some rhythm as well. Or Klopp wanted it for him. But, you know, you can expect the usual things you would expect to hear if you've got your Twitter timeline open. You are hearing, expressions of pure angst around a lot of the substitutions, bringing on the likes of Van Dijk and leaving Mo Salah on. But, of course, you know, everybody always knows better than Klopp until they don't. So I think we can say it's a solid side from Klopp tonight with a lot of logic in it. What do you think, Harry, to bring you in on this, about the inclusion of Clark as kind of the sole... Now, this is the point that... Guy's already made very well. Kwanzaa and Kelleher, not in age, but in experience. But Kwanzaa and Bradley are already just kids and in experience levels as well in terms of the amount of matches they've played. But we almost take them for granted. So I'm saying Clark as the sole one of the new academy bunch. What did you make of that particular selection? Did you think it was the right one? I mean, he certainly... did his best to prove that was the case.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
I wouldn't have been surprised to see McConnell, because I think he's really looked really composed every single time he's been given an opportunity. And again, in a game like this, without being disrespectful, I think the same thing to the scattered lads around, not really being aware of Sparta Prague having too much. Yes, they did cause us a few problems actually in the away leg, and we're probably unlucky not to score a few more goals on the night because it's a much more open game. But given how before we saw how it started, and given the experience across the lineup, I thought it was fine for Clark to start. He's also looked really confident and assured of himself when he's played as well. And alongside the likes of Endo and Szoboszlai, I didn't have any concerns about him finding it difficult, to be honest. So I think just shared Guy's feeling really around. Yeah, over the years we've been accustomed to Jürgen going stronger than we would have expected in some of these games like this, and a 5-1 first leg win, you really would think there would be a bit more rotation, but we know how he is. Game of the weekend, United want to beat them, and then international break, so a couple of players already suggested not that they're going to be going on international duty. Delighted for Joe Gomez that he's getting recognition, furious that he's been selected for international duty contemplating legal action, to be honest, if he turns up with outside anything instead of full fitness. But yeah, it makes sense to me. I was surprised not to see a few more of the academy boys in from the start, but I think Guy talked about Szoboszlai and Salah in particular needing rhythm. Gakpo's had games, but has also really lacked that confidence. So I thought tonight was going to be important for him. Nunes, wouldn't have been surprised to see Jadon Dans be given a go tonight, to be honest. So I thought that was a little bit of a, you know, let's just try and grab some more goals, because he's on a hot streak, isn't it? So you want to maintain the momentum there. So you could probably go around the entire 11 and like legislate for why Klopp's done what he's done. But yeah, when it works out like this, touch wood, with hopefully no more fresh injuries, it's a good evening's work.
On one of the selections in particular that you mentioned there, that Jadon Dans could have come in. For me, I would have thought, yeah, Jadon Dans could have come in, and you know, I'd love to have seen him instead of Gakpo tonight. But I'd love to have seen him start maybe instead of Gakpo tonight. And it's going to be an interesting conversation. I saw something from you on Twitter earlier on about how you were enjoying the fact that he actually looked pissed off that he wasn't scoring opportunities, and that you know, is absolutely going to be a requirement. He did put himself about, but again, just not winning enough of those tackles for the size of the lad. But you know, there's a couple of goals there. We can't say anything more than that. And like, it often is as simple as that for a striker. It's the one thing that they are measured by, especially when they're playing the focal point role like that. So I think it is a good night for him and us if it's got him up in the kind of psychological state where he is thinking of himself once more as a contributor in that regard. It's a big deal. Let's you and I talk about the first two of Liverpool's goals before I go to the second two with Guy. It begins with Darwin Nunez' effort on around 7 minutes, where he sweeps one home very nicely, majestically. I missed this, and I went to read The Guardian online, and they referred to him as bobbling one home, which I thought was a bit harsh when I saw it back. That was a very good finish from a Dominic Szoboszlai cutback, and we're 1-0 up. If anything happened before that, please fill me in, because like I say, I was just distractedly walking around my house making tea, completely forgot what the time was. On 8 minutes, it's Bobby Clark. From the kickoff after the first goal, Darwin puts some pressure on one of their defenders. He plays the ball sideways, and Mo blocks a pass from another defender around about the edge of the box. The ball falls into the path of Bobby Clark, who finishes really well with his left foot kind of on the slide. For a really important goal for him and for his career. And we're 2-0 up, it would appear, after 8 minutes. First of all, did I miss anything before the goals? And second of all, just talk us through your enjoyment of them.
No, nothing before the first goal. Same as you, I was somewhat surprised by the way in which that goal was being described. McManaman was quite derogatory on the commentary about the finish. You're describing sort of the text commentary of it being bobbled. I thought it was just, he just places it into the bottom corner of the net fairly nonchalantly, because that's his job, you know, and he scores goals. And I thought it was a fine finish. There was nothing like in the, you know, not to be again derogatory, but like we've seen Diego Jota, you know, bobble them into the bottom of the net, and we loved that about him. But no, I thought it was a perfectly clean finish. Nice to see Dom picking up an assist as well. And I think with the second goal and Clark getting it, a lovely moment, of course, for any youngster to get their first goal, especially at Anfield on a European night as well. It's a really nice moment for him. And I think it's, you know, having all of these youngsters have their moment, score goals or be involved in big games. I think back to Kwanzaa and Bradley starting there against City and performing the way in which they did, not scoring goals, but, you know, performing to that level in a game of that magnitude, not looking out of place. I think it'll be a big one for Clark tonight to have got that goal. And I think with Salah getting the assist, I think maybe after 70 minutes, he started to relax a little bit. But you know, there are no off nights for Mo Salah. And so for that Sparta Prague defender to think he had the luxury of time seven minutes in. I think, yeah, it's just he was given, obviously, he was punished dearly for it. But, yeah, you can't ask for a more emphatic start than that. Nunes, as we said, continues his hot streak. I think he has 9 goals in 11 games now, yeah, constantly involved, really purring, and hopefully grabs a few more at the weekend against United. And, yeah, Bobby Clark, actually, yeah, it's just great to see all these youngsters more than just being rotated in, actually being involved and contributing at both ends of the pitch, Trev. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to get, you know, a goal being assisted by Mo Salah at that age. So I can't imagine what Bobby Clark feels like.
Oh, it must be so special for the kid this evening and his family. And we've been saying that about so many of them. Lewis Kumas had his moment in the sun, and Jaden Danz has had his moment in the sun. And, you know, obviously Conor Bradley really has. And you mentioned McConnell. I think he's low key, almost right up at the possibly joint top in terms of how impressed I've been with the totality of his contributions. And Guy, you know, at the end of the little piece we're going to talk about, you'd have to hand it to this lot, the Prague fans. They were very loud. They were up for the crack. They were doing their bouncing. They were singing their songs and doing their chants. And, you know, at the end when they've been patently outplayed, like I said, we had 80% of the ball or something. You know, they're ironically cheering their own pass successions. You know, we always highlight when fans are awful. It's worthwhile pointing out, and we'll get to it later when they're good. But before we get to see that expression of defiance from them in the face of abject defeat, we've two more goals to talk about, because only a minute later on 9, it is Mo Salah who at this point picks up his 20th goal for the 7th season in a row. And we'll just pause there and talk about this stat, you and I, for a sec, because I'm curious to get your take on this. Now, I have a little graphic that Squawka put together. So 2017-18, Mo gets 44 fucking goals in 52 games. Phenomenal. 27 in 52 in 2018-19. 23 in 48 games in 1920. 31 goals in 51 games in 2021. The same amount in the same amount of games in 21-22. And 22-23, last campaign, another 30 for Mo in 51 games. So far, we know that's his 20th of the season. Do you fancy him in the games that have left, potentially 2-2-1, 5 in Europe, potentially another, is it 3 or 4 in the FA Cup, and then the 10 league games that we have left? It's, you wouldn't bet against him, Guy, would you, get into 30 again? Never mind this incredibly one-off performance of getting 20 in a row. I think he's the first Liverpool player to do it across successive seasons. I actually would have my money on him getting to 30 again.
Oh, and he'll have his own money on him getting 40. That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
The annoying thing is, I know he would have been at AFCON anyway, but he missed 2 months. And he still pissed his way at 20. It's astonishing how not underrated, but underplayed he is as a Premier League great. I think not in the Liverpool fan base, and not with some of the pundits, I think. And it might just be a Liverpool bad hashtag Liverpool bad thing. But when you hear opposition fans talk about him, and I know some of it's clickbait bollocks and stuff like that, but you get lads who genuinely think he's crap at football. And you're like, are you a simpleton? I think the best thing is, when we signed him, and he obviously scored the 44 goals or whatever it was in the first season, I think he's genuinely like gone up levels as a complete player since that season.
Fact.
Because you like, even look at today, I know we're playing Sparta Prague, some of the passes he did, like if that was a De Bruyne, a Trent, a Harry Kane. If it was Harry Kane, people would be fondling themselves for months on end.
You know the approach to goal, full pace approach to goal, and slid through ball that Mo Salah has patented quite often, sort of with his left foot in a slightly right hand direction to the wrong side of the defender. You've got one of our lads running around, and he plays Cody Gakpo in one of those, and several other people. It's almost like a patented move. You're so right. Like, his goal contributions now are outrageous, and he has a depth of passing ability and range that, you know, it's ridiculously underrated.
That's the thing. And you always harp on it, and you always see this is more fan debate than pundit debate and media debate. Why is the argument always fucking Eden Hazard?
Oh, man,
levels, both Eden Hazard, and he actually gives a shit about football as well. Whereas Eden Hazard couldn't wait to fucking retire.
The levels of professionalism, the difference there, it's wild.
But Eden Hazard was amazing the odd season. But this lad, 7 years in a row, and we haven't always been good in those 7 years. We had years where we didn't have centre-backs. We had last year where we didn't have ability or the ability to run. And he's still just churning out numbers. Like, it's just the levels of consistency. And for 7 years, and let's not forget what he did at Roma where he was sensational. It started at Fiorentina when he was, I can't even say the bloody team now, Fiorentina where he was really good and kind of rejuvenated his career. Like, it's not just been a Liverpool thing for him. He's been sensational since his time Serie A onto us. Maybe he won't get fully appreciated until he retires, but the way he looks after himself, might not be for another bloody 10 years. He's a machine.
That's the thing. And it is 7 seasons, and you would hope, just Harry, to bring you in for a word on Mo here, because we won't get back to it otherwise. You would hope that none of these, you know, fanciful stories that we were hearing about, you know, ridiculous amounts of money being thrown at us to get him to the Saudi League. You'd hope none of them follow through. I don't see a move from Mo to a rival European club that might necessarily tickle his fancy or Liverpool's fancy in terms of what we might be able to get for him from some of those clubs. So I'm hopeful that we're in a situation where we get to see Mo at Liverpool for another couple of years. Wouldn't it be fantastic if you got him if he got to finish out, like, say, 10 seasons at the club, this being his 7th? If we could have him for another 3, wouldn't that just be absolutely magical? Because this guy says, the nick the fella's in, nothing's going to change. Maybe the absolute all-out speed will, but he's now stronger with each successive season and cannier with each successive season and knows how to use his body better with each successive season. So the pace won't be quite as important as he used to once be, because he'll just roll, lads. I really desperately want to see 3 more years of Mo Salah at least.
I think his level of conditioning is pretty obvious. Everyone can see just how well he keeps himself in shape. It's a shock to see him actually pick up an injury this season, right? I think it's the first time we've experienced him being absent for any length of time for actually, well, reasons other than COVID, I think it was, when he was actually away or AFCON appearances. And yeah, the consistency is incredible. I completely agree with Guy. I don't think he gets anywhere near enough credit. I'm sure his own personal goal, despite, you know, alongside the trophies this season, is, yeah, the second Harry Kane boarded that plane to Germany. He's like, okay, right, this is mine now again. And yeah, I'm sure that there'll be a slight, you know, you never wish injury on a player, but there'll be a slight smirk from him if he sees the news, of course, that Ollie Watkins has picked up a knock this evening as well. So that's another chance to, well, depends how long he's out, but a chance to get some more goals and get back on top of in terms of the goal scoring charts in the league. I think similar to Van Dijk, you can see him being a elder statesman in the squad and enjoying that role. And you know, as you say, dropping back and becoming more creative. There's a couple different assists that he's patented now at this stage, the slide through one, and then the outside of the right foot, outside of the left foot crosses that he does at will. now. They always find their target. It's a lot of what he does that is exceptional is taken for granted, in my view. And I always said, even when those big bids were being rumored about, the biggest factor to, that was keeping me feeling like somewhat confident that he'd stay was actually just his own competitiveness, to be honest. The desire that that guy has to be the man, break records, find another record, break that one, and just continue to win things. I did feel to an extent, is this man really going to be satisfied being in a league that he knows is inferior, comfortably winning the league or whatever every single season, scoring buckets of goals? I just think that he's motivated by more at the moment. And as we said, Trev, that money's not going anywhere. Like, in my opinion, that money will still be there when he does decide to make a move away. So yeah, I'm hopeful he can stay. And that competitiveness, you know, that sort of mentality, I mean, you want to keep people like him, Virgil, Ali, at the club for as long as you can because of that.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.